podcast for Saturday, September 29th. Is that right?
That is right.
All right, just making sure. Well, we got our usual scheduled show ready for you guys. I'm here. Adj Guy's here.
Yo.
Yo, he says. We're going to start things off with the intro. Whoa, why did I have to say that? I'm doing the intro right
now.
This
is the intro. Keep going.
No, wait, listen. I want to explain myself.
Okay,
because I have a list, and, you know, the first thing on the list is intro, and usually I know not to say that.
You're going to have to make a note of it in the future, I guess.
Yeah, okay. But we start with the intro, I guess, technically.
Which we're doing now.
Yeah, and then we go to news. Then we go to the best ever, our week in gaming, Mike's adventures in Final Fantasy, talk about the downloadable game releases, and then the weekly game releases. That's the whole show.
All right. Shall I begin?
What, you want my permission now?
I don't know.
No, you can't begin.
I don't want your permission. Here we go. We're going to start the news. So we'll start off with the announced details on the Eye of Judgment. This comes from the PlayStation blog. The game will finally be released on October 3rd for a retail price of $70. For your $70, you get the game on a Blu-ray disc, the PlayStation Eye, the Judgment Stand, which is the thing that holds the eye for the game, the Battle Mat, a 30-card starter deck, plus 4 function cards, and an 8-card booster pack. Then additionally, you can get booster packs for $3.75 a piece, or theme decks for $15. So are you getting this game?
I would love to try it and see if I liked it, but $70 is way too risky.
No, I mean, you're getting the PlayStation Eye, which seems like it's going to have, you know, at least further utility.
Yeah, I never had any interest in that for the PlayStation 2.
It just sounds exciting for me because this is like, it's kind of, we're starting to get it like to that promise of like the Holo Chess game from Star Wars.
I guess so.
Oh, like just everything I've seen about this game has very positive buzz, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, keeping with the PlayStation 3, we have news that even though the home release has been pushed back to 08, Phil Harrison says in an interview with GameStop that it's still basically coming out at the same time because they plan on rolling out a larger-scale beta around late November, early December. So, I guess like it's like delayed, but not really.
I think it's pretty delayed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect it to be. I mean, I know reports of the closed beta going on right now. I think they're just now getting updates that revealed at E3 back in July, so I can't imagine how feature complete this beta will be. But, I mean, at least it's something, so that'll be good to at least get a taste of it.
Right.
In new, other beta news, we have the Call of Duty 4 beta coming to an end September 30th. This comes from Joystick.
Wait, Sunday?
Yeah.
What, has level cap been increased yet?
Yeah, they said the level cap is going up to 25 before the end. I don't know if it did or not yet. Honestly, I haven't played it much this week.
Right.
But I'm going to have to play it some tomorrow if I get a chance. So, go play that this weekend, have fun with it, and then we'll all be getting the game come holiday. A game I know you are excited to hear is in development, Samba de Amigo, coming to the Wii, developed by Gearbox Software. There was a Nintendo Power cover leak that had it up at the top, and Nintendo confirmed to 1UP that, yes, Gearbox is making a new Samba de Amigo.
Interesting developer choice.
Yeah, like, I mean, I trust Gearbox to the degree that they make good games, but I don't know how
don't
they
know
do
they,
with a quirky
Japanese
music game. Do they
get Samba de Amigo, though?
I hope so. I mean, it's not a hard game to get, really.
Well, yeah, maybe, but, like, I think they're going to purposely not want to make that game. Because I think that game has the appeal, really, that they're looking for.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it needs to retain, like, the quirky kind of J-pop music and the classic Sega songs.
Well, it needs for me to like it, but it probably won't, and it'll probably sell better, you know, with, like, by Guitar Heroing up the game, basically, which is what they're probably going to try to do. Or maybe they'll go the boogie route and just kind of make it, you know, horrible.
Oh, God, I hope not. I really want that game to be good. But another music game that we're all looking forward to is Rock Band, which finally got its package price announced. A little cheaper than everybody thought. It's going to be $170. That gets you the game, a guitar, drum set, and microphone. On the PS3, it's a wireless guitar. On the 360, it's wired. And the wireless guitars apparently aren't coming until rumored early next year for the 360. So that's kind of a bummer. But the game,
wait a second. But Guitar Hero 3, on every platform, it comes bundled with a wireless controller, right?
I know. I was kind of hoping that that would, like, if they would have announced that sooner, then that might have caused Harmonix to be like, well, crap, now we'd better do it too. But I think it's just too late for it now to affect it.
Well, I think Harmonix probably should have been planning for that from the beginning.
I know, like, they blame it on the proprietary wireless format of Microsoft. I can't believe, like, even Microsoft wouldn't have, like, picked up the slack on that, because basically, now, that's the only advantage now the Xbox version has over the PS3 version is that people may already have that first guitar from Guitar Hero 2. Like, I mean, that's why I'm going to get it for 360, because I already have half the hardware I'd need to get, like, two-player going. But if it wasn't for that, I honestly would consider getting it on the PS3.
Is there going to be, like, a bundle for Rock Band without the guitar but with the microphone and drums?
I haven't heard anything official. I think it's just been kind of presumed, and I would hope so.
Because, like, I'm going
to
get
Guitar Hero 170 for it.
Right, I'm going to get Guitar Hero 3 with the guitar bundle, then we'll have two guitars.
Yeah.
But, whatever.
But that'll come out. Now, this is weird. It's coming out November 23rd. That's Black Friday.
Well, means a lot of people will be shopping.
Yeah, but I don't want to have to go through the throngs of parents trying to get cheap Christmas gifts to get my Rock Band.
Well, it looks like you're going to have to.
Yeah, it looks like I might order it online and have it shipped to me.
Well, I mean, you do see the business appeal in this move with all those moms looking for Christmas gifts.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. But, I mean, couldn't they even have released it that Tuesday? And then that way it's there for Black Friday, but, like, the people who really want it can get it without being bothered, like,
the people who really want it are going to buy it whenever they can. The mothers of the world need to see it in stock the day they happen to be shopping.
Yeah.
See, I got the logic behind this whole thing.
I know, it just sucks.
It doesn't suck that much.
Yeah, I know. Well, another game that sold like gangbusters that came out this week is Halo 3, which kind of dominated all video gaming news this week, and for good reason.
What's the good reason?
Well, I mean, it's getting glowing reviews for the most part. It grossed over $160 million, making it the biggest day of entertainment sales ever. Halo 3 is the
12th best game of all time.
Really?
Yes. Would you believe that playing
now,
it?
That I don't believe. It's a good game. It's a very good game. I mean, I've been playing it pretty solid all week, and I've been enjoying myself. But, I mean, the thing with Halo 3, and we'll get into this more later, is that it's evolutionary, not revolutionary. It just takes the Halo formula and makes it the best it can possibly be.
I can argue that the Halo series has never been revolutionary, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. But, those who got the limited edition, which sold for $70, may have been miffed to find their disc scratched. Apparently, some of these discs will still run fine, but, like, maybe, like, other areas of the disc, like towards the end of the game, whatever, screwed up. Regardless, Microsoft is replacing these discs for free. If you go to xbox.com/support, you can find the information to swap your disc. I don't know. Like, I'm hoping that what they do is they send you the new disc with the thing to send back the old one, so you're not, like, without the game for however long. But, I mean, at least they're taking care of it. It just sucks that this happened. Apparently, the way that the discs are packaged, because it's like this floating thing that holds the two discs, is scratching it, which you think they would realize that ahead of time by testing it, but whatever.
Yeah.
So that sucks. And then even more issues.
Doesn't suck for us.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have that edition.
Nope. But, more issues come with the game. First, people are complaining that the split screen for two players does not take full advantage of a 16:9 screen. And I gotta call shenanigans on this, because when you look at... I haven't played two-player split screen, but I've seen that, like, the screen grabs of it.
I have.
Yeah, you have. So, I mean, you can confirm this. I mean, you're still... The view you have, personally, of your half of the screen is still a 16:9 screen, right?
Right.
So, I mean, to stretch it out all the way, it wouldn't that have been, like, kind of ridiculously wide?
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, I don't really see the problem. You're not losing anything when you're playing in split screen.
Like, I mean, when you're playing a game of split screen these days, you already have to set your expectations pretty low for your visibility.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you're playing it on half a screen. And, I mean, their complaint is they're not playing on half a screen. They're playing on, like, I don't know, three-fifths of a screen or whatever.
But, I mean, it's still... more than half a screen, AJ. You mean two-fifths.
They're playing it on three-tenths. That's what I meant to say. If I'm doing that. Yes, three-tenths.
Three-tenths.
Yeah, because they're getting... No, never mind. This doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, I guess some people feel like they should be, like, every pixel on their screen should be getting used. But then that actually gives them an unfair advantage because they'd be seeing more than everybody else. And then people probably complain about that.
Oh, 640 by whatever pixels, huh?
Yep, that's the next one. Apparently, somebody actually. I can't believe people do this. They counted the number of pixels to find out what resolution this game's been rendering in, and it is a 640 resolution. Apparently other 360 games have done this, such as Project Gotham Racing and Perfect Dark. And, I mean, Bungie justified this in their website, and what they said they do is they're actually rendering... It's 1138 by 640, but they're rendering it in two different frame buffers. And they do one that's a high dynamic light pass and one that's a low dynamic range light pass, and the two get combined. So really, according to them, they're really rendering in 1280p, but twice. I mean, bottom line, I played through the entire game. I couldn't tell. I thought it looked great. I mean, if you're sitting there counting and like, hey, there should be 80 more pixels here, then you might be playing the game for the wrong reason. Plus, I mean, the 360 does have the analog scaler. It scales it all to your resolution anyway.
Like, buffers, whatever? Like, they could be making that up, and I would believe them. You know what I mean? I don't know what that means. It's like, oh, yeah, we may have, you know, 640 pixels, but we're going through them twice. It doesn't make sense to me. It sounds kind of spinny.
No, I understand. I mean, I'm not doing it a good job explaining because I don't understand all the technical
elements. No, I read the thing. But... I read this news. I understand it. But, I don't know. I think it's stupid to count pixels. But, like, it almost didn't surprise me because it's... I mean, Halo 3 is not among the best of looking games.
It's good looking, but in very subtle ways.
Well, that's a stupid... What does that mean? What the hell does that mean?
Well, I mean, look at, like...
Look at the lighting and... Shut up.
Well, it's true.
That's a problem with priorities, then.
Yes.
Textures and character models should come before your freaking lighting.
Oh, the game has good textures.
Character models are pretty bad.
The human's faces don't look the best, but okay.
Human faces don't look the best at all. The Covenant still look like toys.
Oh, I kind of like the Covenant.
Yeah, you probably would. All two of them.
Uh-huh.
Just keep going.
Okay, so I mentioned Project Gotham Racing, which was made by Bizarre, and they got bought out by Activision. Both parties claimed this wasn't a case like Bizarre needed money; they just did it. I don't really understand why this happened. I always assumed that they were owned by Microsoft for some reason, but they're not. So now they're owned by Activision. All the games that they were working on that were set up with different publishers, such as PGR4 with Microsoft, and there is some kind of shooting/racing game they're making published by Sega. That's all still going to happen as planned. Microsoft will retain the rights to Project Gotham Racing, and Bizarre is going to apparently start a new racing series that will be published by Activision.
That's what we need. Another mediocre racing series. Goody.
I know how much you love them.
The only one I've liked was Forza 2.
Well, that's good, because according to a rumor leaked from Best Buy's website, there are three new Xbox 360 bundles coming our way. It's the Elite, the Pro, and the Core. They're all going to remain their same prices of $450, $350, and $280, respectively. The Elites and the Pros are going to begin to be packed in with Forza 2 and Marvel Ultimate Alliance, according to the ad. The Core system will be getting HDMI that the Pro eventually did get. It'll come with a wireless controller instead of the wired, 5 free Xbox Live Arcade games, and a 256-megabyte memory card, which, to me, finally makes the Pro a little more, or the Core, rather, a little more viable, because it never made sense to me before. Buy the Core, spend $40 on a memory card, well, another, $30 you could have gotten the Pro anyway. So now, like, you can buy a Core.
Is it really called the Pro? I thought it was called the Premium.
It does. It's really just called the Xbox 360. The Pro and Premium and everything is just kind of names that people gave it.
I thought Premium was clearly written on the box.
I don't think so. I don't have my box here. I'd check.
I have your box here.
Yeah, you have it.
I kind of... Why don't you talk for a second? I'm going to check it out. Do the next news thing. I'll be right back.
So while he's looking at that, there are rumors abound also of a $400 PlayStation 3 coming. Various sources are indicating that the company that makes the PS2s right now is contracted by Sony to make a new PlayStation 3 that will have a 40-gigabyte hard drive, fewer USB ports, and will not have the various memory card readers built into it. There were questions of why Sony hadn't done a price drop sooner, to which Sony executives responded that it wouldn't make sense to do a price drop until games come out. And developers are clamoring for a price drop so that they can sell their games, so it's kind of this weird chicken-and-the-egg thing that's screwing everything up. If Mike were here on the microphone right now, I'm sure he'd have something to say.
I'm back.
Well, what'd it say?
Nah, it just said Xbox 360. I guess you're right.
Told you. I was just telling the fine people about the upcoming rumors of a $400 PS3 SKU.
Very exciting.
Okay. That's about what I thought you'd say.
I have nothing to add. I'm sure you reported it
correctly.
Did. Okay.
And so really, that's all the news we have for this week.
Really? That's good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
16 minutes this week. That's better.
I've been trying to be more selective.
Yes. Good work. All right, then. I guess we're going to go into the best ever.
Oh, boy.
And I'm good. This gives us time to do a really good best ever. I was kind of afraid of doing this one because I knew it'd be so long.
Oh, boy.
But we're going to do it. I think, I have faith in you.
Okay.
I have faith in our abilities at this point.
Oh, boy.
You know what game's being released on October 1st?
No.
It's for the DS.
Oh, boy. I feel it like I should know this.
Phantoms.
Oh, wow. Is it really? Already?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Phantom Hourglass.
Yes, Legend of Zelda, the Phantom Hourglass.
I didn't know it was coming out so soon.
Yeah, it's like, what, Tuesday? Yeah, Monday.
Get out.
Yeah.
Well, crap. I'm going to have to pick it up one in San Diego.
Yeah, I'm going to Raw that Monday in Cleveland, but I'm still probably going to try to pick it up. But in honor of a new Zelda game coming out, I think it's only appropriate that we do the best Zelda ever.
Why not?
Okay, I think we should, go beginning to end here.
All right, so we had the original Legend of Zelda on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
As far as NES games go, I'm going to go and say that one hasn't really aged that well.
No, I mean, admittedly, I never beat this game because when I was a kid playing it, I had no idea what was going on. I was more than happy to just run around the world map and kill those little things shooting balls at me. But I don't think I ever beat past the second or third dungeon in it.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have a whole lot to say about Zelda 1. I don't think many people would call it the best one, though.
No, it's good. It's
groundbreaking. It's a very important game.
It certainly laid the framework for every Zelda game to follow.
And, every Zelda knockoff to follow.
Yes.
Including our friend, what was that series
Newtopia.
Called? Yes. Which I should download someday.
Yeah, we really should.
Alright. Then we have Zelda 2, Link's Adventure. The only Zelda game not to have the Legend of moniker in it.
Yeah, and God, that game is so hard.
It is hard. I never got too far in it either.
Well, as a kid, I never knew what was going on. And then I downloaded it on the Virtual Console when it came out a few months back. It's impossible. Because you go through this first dungeon, and everything kills you. And your sword goes about 4 pixels in front of you. And you fight these guys who, they will attack high or low. And you get, a split second to know what attack is coming. So you got to either stand or duck to block them and counter. And then by the time you finally get to the boss, it's like this horsehead guy who's running around. And if he just touches you, you die. By the time you get to him, you only have half a heart anyway. It's just, you have to hit him in the head. So you have to, jump at him. And it's the hardest thing ever. It's not bad. The game's kind of fun.
I've always felt like there's, an awesome game in Zelda 2 somewhere, but I'll never see it.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Alright, let's wait a second. Link to the Past came out before Link's Awakening, right?
No, I think Link's Awakening was first.
Really? No. Because there's so much Link to the Past influence in Link's Awakening. Let's just say Link to the Past came out first.
Okay.
Maybe not. Let's just talk about Link to the Past. I love Link to the Past a lot.
Yes. That, I remember the old Super Nintendo commercial that had, like, the guy rapping with, like, projected images of Link to the Past going around. And I was like, wow, that looks awesome.
I like the Japanese Link to the Past commercial.
What is that, like a...
They're like all, it's like it's kind of like Thriller, like Michael Jackson's Thriller music video, but with, like, Link.
The giant pig face Ganon thing popping up in the end.
Yeah, but, I mean, I've beaten Link to the Past, like, a few times.
It is a very, very, very good game.
Yes. I think it might have some of the best dungeon designs in the game, too. Series, I mean.
Yeah, and the whole Dark World, Light World thing worked really well, too.
It worked really well in that game, and no other game has been able to do it as well since.
Yeah, well, I think because it was the first one to do it. Because I got through the Light World, and I was like, oh, that wasn't so hard. And I'm like, oh, I still have, like, more than half the game to go.
But, like, Metroid Prime 2 didn't do the Dark World that well. Even Twilight Princess didn't do it as well.
Yeah.
But we'll get to the Twilight Princess later. But, I mean, Link to the Past was very good. Had a lot of neat stuff in it. A lot of neat new abilities and stuff. I think, the first time we had the sprint shoes for sure.
Yeah, that was always fun. The Pegasus boots.
Yes, Pegasus boots. There's some items that never appeared again, like that wand that made a block appear.
Oh, yeah.
That was always a fun one. Link to the Past is very good. It was one of my favorite Super Nintendo games. And Link's Awakening is probably one of my favorite original Game Boy games.
That game was so big for a Game Boy game. It was probably the first time I felt like I was playing a console game on a portable.
It did. I loved how it took itself less seriously than the other Zelda games.
Yeah.
It still played really well, but it was just very silly.
It was fantastic. And then when they did the DX remake for the Game Boy Color with the new Color Dungeons.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the definitive version of that game. It was so good.
It was good. Yeah, I really like Link's Awakening. All right, next one's Ocarina, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, well, Ocarina of Time is clearly a very important game.
It set Zelda into the 3D universe, and very well at that.
Yeah, it did. Played pretty well. I mean, if a game that just came out, 2006, still borrows heavily from that game from 1998, they did a lot of stuff right.
Yeah. Now, I have to admit, I never actually beat Ocarina of Time. I got stuck in so many people in the water temple.
Yeah, me too. I hate that water temple.
It killed it. It killed it.
So, a lot of people would be like, oh, whatever. But, it was a pretty piss-poor designed temple.
Yeah. I know Chris has beaten that game, twice, which is crazy, but...
Ocarina of Time, we got Majora's Mask.
Ugh, I did not like Majora's. I hate games that put you on a time limit like that. Because especially in a Zelda game, half the fun of a Zelda game is just exploring everything. And I just felt rushed during that game.
Yeah, I could never get into it. I don't understand. There's some people who really like it, though.
Yeah.
So there's an appeal somewhere, but I just won't get it. I think around this time we had the Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons games.
Those are interesting.
They were. It's weird, though, because, they're very similar to Link's Awakening, but they don't...
They were just missing something.
Not very much about them sticks out to me now.
Yeah, they just kind of lack that certain je ne sais quoi.
Made by Capcom, actually, or published by them or something. Then we have Wind Waker, the GameCube.
Brilliant game.
I love Wind Waker.
It got a little tedious in the Triforce Shard hunt section, but it wasn't really as bad as people make it out to be.
Not. I hate people complain about the sailing.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed the sailing.
I like the sailing.
Because I kind of like exploring around in Zelda games. That really captured the feeling of, being out in the high seas, sailing around, finding stuff.
Sailing was great. I mean, it was such a huge open sea, and the draw distance was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You saw an island just wouldn't appear. You saw it off in the distance. You went to it. The art style on that game is going to hold up better graphically than any other game from that console.
Oh, I completely agree. Like everyone was so pissed when they showed that, and they're like, oh, we thought we were getting realistic Zelda. If that game was done realistically, and we looked at its graphics now, I mean, even you look at Twilight Princess, and 2-3 years from now, it's not going to look that good. But Wind Waker is still going to look good because it's just so designed, driven by its design, that it's just going to be like one of those timeless games, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, Triforce Haunted, I don't really have a problem with. The biggest flaw in Wind Waker, in my opinion, is that it's two dungeons too short.
Exactly.
But
but the final battle was fantastic.
You beat Wind Waker, right?
Of course.
A little bit later, actually, though.
Yeah, I did. It took me like another month or two after you did. But, okay, we're going to get into a spoiler here. But, I mean, come on. He stuck the friggin' sword in Ganon's forehead.
It is my favorite Legend of Zelda.
And then, Ganon's sitting there with a sword in his head. He's like, I feel the wind. I was this is freaking awesome.
Yeah, people were like, oh, this is the kiddie Zelda. The tone was very much first off, I don't know where people got the impression that, Legend of Zelda was ever, an adult franchise.
Yeah.
The games were always pretty silly. Even Ocarina of Time, I mean.
You had Tingle, for God's sake.
Well, that was Majora's Mask, but, you know.
Oh, yeah,
He was coming, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
The signs were there in Ocarina of Time.
I mean, just look at the design of all the human characters in those games. They're not very realistic looking.
No, but...
Miyamoto himself said that that's how he always wanted Link to look. I mean, how can you argue with the man?
Well, it's a fantastic look. Wind Waker, I love Wind Waker. Good stuff. So, after that we had... we have the Four Sword games, but they're kind of throwaways, really.
Yeah, they were fun.
They're neat. I don't think we need to talk about them in great detail.
No.
We have Minish Cap. Did you play much of Minish Cap?
I got, I'd say about a quarter of the way through it. I still have it. That's something I mean to pick up and finish, because I was enjoying it.
I don't know. I couldn't get into it. I don't know why. I didn't like the shrinking gimmick.
I think the same problem it has in common with Oracle of Seasons and Ages, because they were both done by Capcom. It's they took the Zelda formula, and that's it. Because the Zelda proper games always manage to do something to make you say, oh, this is cool. They were just kind of, here's a Zelda game. That's all we got for you.
Speaking of, the special thing, going back to Wind Waker for a second, I loved the actual Wind Waker.
Mm-hmm.
And, the baton thing, that was awesome. Okay, but that brings us to Twilight Princess.
Still haven't beaten that.
Really?
I'm on the last dungeon.
Oh, I really enjoyed Twilight Princess.
I did too.
I really like the motion controls in it.
Yeah, I played that game, and I was using these motion controls. I was like, okay, this works. We can do this. And then the next game that made me think that again was Metroid last month.
Oh, you should have played Resident Evil 4.
Yeah,
Resident
I didn't play enough Resident Evil, but yeah.
Resident Evil 4 had great motion controls, I thought. But complaints for Twilight Princess,
slow.
It was a very slow start. I can't... unless you're really into Zelda, I imagine you would have a hard time getting through that start. I have... Story-wise, I didn't really like the game. I don't know.
It was really... It seemed like it was more the focus on... what's her name?
Well, Midna.
Midnight.
Some people liked that character. I didn't really like her.
Yeah, I wanted it to be about Link.
But, in general, I don't know. For some reason, the threat didn't feel like it was there. It's because maybe, all the townspeople were so blissful of everything.
Yeah, they never really seemed anything was going on. And right. To them, it wasn't. And yeah, exactly. It didn't seem like there was any real urgency.
How ironic how in Twilight Princess, the realistic Zelda, everyone's kind of all happy, just, going about their business. And Wind Waker, it's kind of taking place in, this sort of somber world where everything's been flooded, and,
Yeah, seriously.
The
it's
continent
not happy.
Is torn asunder. But, Twilight Princess, also the wolf thing, I don't know about the wolf thing.
Yeah, I'd rather just be Link.
Every time I was wolf, I really want to be Link.
Yeah.
Also, I know you didn't get there, but I did not like the ending of the game.
No, that's what I heard.
The Ganondorf fight was pretty good. Wasn't as Wind Waker good, but I don't know. The ending itself was weird.
Hmm.
Next week we'll be able to talk about Phantom Hourglass, which I am really looking forward to.
Yeah, shoot, I'm totally getting that.
Yeah, but all right. So, I guess I'll let you say what you think is the best Zelda ever. Actually, why don't I go first? Because I don't know what yours is.
You go
be.
First. I actually need to ponder.
Well, mine is Wind Waker. I think Wind Waker is one of the best looking games ever. I mean, I just love that art style. I could just stare at that art style forever. I really wish more games kind of went with that direction. I wouldn't have complained if Twilight Princess... Well, not Twilight Princess, but they made a Zelda game like that, which is why I'm glad
Phantom Hourglass
is. Yeah. But not just like that, but I mean, the dungeons that were in the game were great. There was like the two dungeons you had to go to with like a helper. I think it was a wind temple and like the earth temple, maybe.
Yeah.
Which were really good puzzle dungeons. Really good puzzle dungeons. Yeah, I really liked Wind Waker. I loved the ending. I loved the music in Wind Waker. And that was something that I felt was lacking in Twilight Princess, was the music was pretty standard. I mean, I hate it when, like, the Zelda games, for some reason, don't want to take advantage of the Legend of Zelda theme. I think Twilight Princess played it once in the end credits. Like, what? Why?
Yeah, that was my problem with Ocarina of Time. I was like, where is it? And then, like, they brought it back for the world map in Majora's Mask. And I was like, wow, why was this not there from the beginning?
Wind Waker had, like, the sweet, like, guitar... I don't know, some kind of guitar version of it in the beginning.
Yeah,
I love the beginning of Wind Waker. Just like Wind Waker is weird because it's like a real sequel to Ocarina of Time, because like the events of Ocarina of Time were like talked about like as like a legend.
Yeah, I like that.
But see, that's kind of like what makes Twilight Princess so unimportant for me, because like Twilight Princess takes place in between Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker. So I think to myself, well, if they didn't talk about that Link and Wind Waker, it must not have been that important.
Yeah. That's the thing. Zelda's always had a confusing timeline.
Yeah, it has.
All right, well, here's my answer.
Wait a second. Speaking of timeline real quick. Speaking of, from what I've always believed, goes Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess. I'm not going to handhelds. Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess, Wind Waker, Link to the Past, Zelda 1, Zelda 2.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right. But you go ahead.
All right, this may surprise you, and for all, I mean, this could change by tomorrow. But I'm going to have to go with Link's Awakening.
Interesting.
I just remember really, really enjoying that game, like, a lot, and...
I really liked Link's Awakening. I didn't like it more than Link to the Past, though.
No, I don't know. I think, in my like I said, I was
I, no,
on
I'm
the...
Not, no, no, I'm not belittling your choice.
Oh, I know. Like, I was kind of between those two. So, I mean, like, this kind of just edged out. But, I mean, I think just the fact that they were able to get that experience on the original Game Boy was impressive in and of itself.
It was just
a very solid game. It had, you know, the dungeons were good. I liked the towns you went to. The item progression of the game was, like, perfect. And it was just really good. I just really liked it.
I'm just curious. What stopped Wind Waker for you from being the best Zelda?
I think, like you said, it was a little brief.
I'll tell you what, it was a little brief, but my playtime on it was exactly the same as it was for Twilight Princess.
Yeah,
probably. Even though Twilight Princess had 9 dungeons, and I mean, you could blame some of that on, oh, well, there's the Triforce thing in Wind Waker, but you did a lot of stupid things in Twilight Princess too, like collecting those bugs.
Yeah.
It's like there's that thing with the fish and stuff, but you know, I can understand the Link thing a little
Certainly of all the console games... Or, I mean, of all the 3D games, rather, I should say, Wind Waker is the best one for me.
Okay. It feels kind of weird because we have this opinion, but a lot of people would say Ocarina.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. Like, I mean, the fact that I never beat it because I got sick of a dungeon, I think that kind of says a little bit about it. I mean, granted, that was just a dungeon, and the way I understand is each dungeon is designed by a different person on the team. Mm. So I hate to be that guy, but...
He tried too hard, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up. Link's Awakening for you, Wind Waker for me.
Very good.
Oh, jeez, and now we got to talk about our week in gaming. I kind of had a busy week. Maybe you should go first.
So, obviously, we're going to talk about Halo 3.
Oh, right. I didn't even think about Halo. I did, though.
So, I got the game Tuesday. I actually didn't pre-order it until the week before, and the GameStop, I went to go pick it up at on Tuesday morning, which actually turned out had a midnight sale. I didn't even know it. They had, like, a bunch of legendaries left, and I was like, yeah, all right. So I have my cat helmet, I'm very proud to say. And I started playing the game around 11 o'clock Tuesday, and by 12:30 that night, I'd beaten it already.
Interesting, huh?
It is interesting when you consider that I didn't beat Halo 2 until last week.
So what did you think of the single-player campaign, then?
As I kind of hinted at earlier, it doesn't do anything surprising. It's just very good. Like,
how's it very good?
It's just very solid.
That's what everyone says when I want them to explain to me why Halo's good. It's solid.
Well, okay.
Such a vague kind of...
I like the combat system, because, I mean, really, I mean, Halo was the first game to kind of introduce that whole concept of, like, a recharging health system.
It did. It did.
And it really forces you to use cover in ways that you normally wouldn't in a first-person shooter.
Because well, like, I wouldn't back then.
Yeah, like, I mean, and still, like, games, I don't... Like, Resistance kind of had a sort of health-regenerating system.
Well, I would definitely not say Resistance is better than Halo.
Yeah. I don't know, I just as I was playing the game, like, I for one, really like the Halo fiction. I think it's a really good story. I just think sometimes Bungie doesn't tell it the best they could, but, like, I was, like, I would read things online to help explain things. I was like, oh, that's actually really cool. I wish they would explain that better
read,
in the game.
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to read the supplemental crap online so I can understand their story.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't beat Halo 2, granted. I didn't beat Halo 1, even. But, I mean, the fact that, like, I'm playing Halo 3, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, you think they would, like, introduce things a little bit. Like, I mean, I was able to watch a Canadian teen soap opera in the middle of its run, and, I mean, I actually understood what was happening enough to enjoy the said episode I was watching, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if Canadian teen, you know, soap operas can figure it out, you know, wish the guys at Bungie could have done something. But, I mean, story-wise, I don't see what's... Maybe it's just because I feel like Bungie, maybe more Microsoft, are, like, so kind of arrogant about the story. Like, I remember at their press conference, they were, like, talking about how, you know, gamers are excited to see the epic conclusion.
Yeah.
To this story arc, and they're comparing it to Star Wars and stuff.
Well, I mean, and like, the thing is, like, in all honesty, the ending was kind of predictable, but it was still pretty good. Like, I'm not going to talk about, like, the ending at length, because I know a lot of people started just getting into the game, so we'll save it. But, like I said, I mean, it just took the things I liked about Halo 1 and 2, like, the way it played and everything, and it's just polished to a sheen, and it just plays very well. I mean, as far as just a basic, like, kind of combat-oriented first-person shooter goes, it just plays really well. The fact that I played it 8 hours in a day, which I very rarely do for a game, and, you know, beat it the day I got it, which I can't remember the last time I did that, I think that says something.
My two favorite things in about Halo 3 are the music and the Mountain Dew.
I haven't actually had that Mountain Dew. I need to get some of it just
good.
To try it.
No, I have a lot of fun with multiplayer. Well, but mostly because, I don't know, if I play multiplayer by myself, I don't know much, because when I play it, it's always with you, our friend PJ, and our other brother Chris. Of course, that's a lot of fun.
Oh, we've been having a great time with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I just want to go back, because you mentioned the music. Actually, on one of the supplemental materials I was watching, Marty O'Donnell, who's the composer and sound designer for Halo, talking about the music system, and it's really cool, because remember iMuse that they used to use in the old LucasArts adventure games? How yeah. It would, like, dynamically change the music? Mm-hmm. They actually have a system like that in Halo, and it's so subtle, I didn't even realize it, but it actually does this thing where it'll add or subtract instruments to the track playing, and then when it comes to an end, it'll seamlessly merge into, like, an ending for the song. It's really cool when he demonstrates it.
That's cool. Is there anything else you want to say about Halo?
Well, one other thing, too. Like, I know you didn't get there yet, but do you care if I talk a little bit about the last level?
Not particularly.
Okay. Because up until this point, my favorite moment in any of the previous two Halo 2 games, and you play this with me in co-op, was the very last level of Halo, where you're driving the Warthog across the exploding Pillar of Autumn.
I have to say, you were hyping that level up a lot, and when I played it with you, I didn't quite get it.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. Maybe it's because... Okay. Were you driving the Warthog, or were you in the back shooting?
Well, I don't remember.
I don't know. Maybe... I think you might have
been... I'm driving it poorly.
Yeah. I think I may have kicked you out of the driver's seat after a while. Maybe. But the ending to this game kind of harkens back to that, where it's you and the Arbiter driving over this exploding surface of the end level. And instead of, like, a bunch of Covenants, a bunch of Flood this time that are shooting at you. And it was just, again, it was like the ending of the Halo 1 just kicked up to 11. And as I was playing, I was like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted. And it was really good.
That's good.
One disappointment I have, though, and this would not have been an issue, but we've talked before about the ads that Microsoft has put out with that diorama of, like, this big epic battle.
Yeah,
I was fully expecting that to be a level in the game, and it's not. Like, I honestly thought I was going to finish that level of driving, go back to Earth, and then, like, the last mission would be that big battle to fight off the remaining brutes who are on Earth. And it just didn't happen. And like I said, if I didn't know, like, if they would never have shown those commercials, I think I would have been, like, completely satisfied. But now I'm like, well, you know what? I mean, I wasn't expecting this game before November. If they would have taken those 2 extra months, could they have made that a level and shipped this in November with that as the, like, conclusion? Because that would have been cool.
Definitely the best story elements of Halo are in its commercials.
Yeah.
Which I think is an incredibly sad, sad thing. One more complaint. I'm being a negative Nancy on Halo. I like Halo, okay. I'm just being tough on it because everyone else seems to like it more, and I don't understand. But the one thing I don't like is it seems like, to me, about half of the weapons in Halo are bad / useless.
Well, a big part of the problem in Halo 3 especially is... like almost every weapon has like a human and a Covenant counterpart to it. And the Covenant weapons are plasma-based, and the human are ballistic-based. The brutes and most of the Flood you fight are like resistant to bullets because of their armor, but they're weak to plasma. So you never end up using the human weapons. And I like some of the human weapons better, and they're like aesthetic in the way you use them, but like they're just not viable. Which I wish they were just symmetrical, you know?
Yeah, I felt like almost any weapon that could be dual-wielded sucked.
Now, see, I disagree with that, because, like, I know in multiplayer especially, I get the combination of either a spiker or a submachine gun, and this new weapon called the Mauler, which is basically like a shotgun pistol. If I got those two combined, I could take down people pretty quickly.
Mm. Whatever. Is there anything else you played you want to talk about?
One thing, I played it last week, I completely forgot to mention it, but I rented Jam Sessions on the DS.
Oh, yeah?
Which is that, like, it's kind of like a guitar simulating game, and it's... I mean, it's not really so much a game, I guess, because, I mean, really, what you do is you just load up some chords and start strumming a guitar. And I gotta say, it's really fun. I went online and got, like, some chords for some different, like, I got some Dispatch, some Jimmy Buffett, some Dave Matthews, and Johnny Cash. And just loaded up the chords for each song, started playing around, and I was playing the songs.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
Might have wanted to teach yourself how to play real guitar sometime.
See, I just have a really hard time moving my fingers in all the chord positions.
Right.
I don't know, I just don't have guitar fingers.
Smarky comment.
Oh, jerk.
Right. Well, yeah. Let's see. First off, I've been playing Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah, you're playing that for review.
Yes, I am.
What do you think?
I'm enjoying it.
How would you say it compares to 07?
I didn't play a whole lot of 07. I played 06 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a skip for me. And, I mean, I haven't, like, so far, like, a lot of what I've been doing is, there's, like, you can build up your skills by playing all these kind of mini games, which is kind of neat, really, because, like, I like it better than buying skill upgrades,
because
it makes more sense, like, you're practicing and stuff like that. So I've been doing a lot of those. And, you know, the putting is better because you get, like, this putt preview thing. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, you can only use it, like, once, right?
You're right. So it's good because if you can use it too often, then, you know, it's...
Because that's how it was in 06. You could just look whenever you wanted.
Right. But using it once, I think it makes things more realistic.
Right.
And, I mean, I'll tell you what. I tried, like, the gamer face thing, you know, with the pictures.
Oh, yeah. How'd that work?
Not that well, really.
I heard some issues. Now, did you hook up a camera to the PS3 or did you upload pictures via the internet?
I hooked up the Xbox camera to it.
That's kind of funny.
Yes, ironic. So maybe, you know, not a high quality camera maybe, but still. But you know what? Just with, like, just using their normal, you know, create a golfer thing, I made a pretty good version of myself just with that.
We always have been able to make ourselves look pretty identical to our real-life counterparts in that game.
I made a really good me this time. You need to see it sometime.
That's cool.
But, yeah, it looks pretty good. So that's good. The customization's nice. You know, it's a Tiger Woods game. It's pretty solid. I still, at times, don't understand why my shots are hooking or slicing instead of going in straight.
I heard a lot of people complain that it's a lot more sensitive to your swing not being perfectly straight in this one.
Yeah. Maybe if I boost up my accuracy. There's also, like, they also have a 3-click...
I kind of thought that was interesting to bring that back. I found when I just played the demo on 360, but I found that to be a lot more useful for putting because you knew exactly how much power. Because, I mean, or
you
even
to
like short iron shots when, like, you'd line it up and it's like you need to swing with 70% power. I'm like, how the hell do I figure out what 76% is with an analog stick?
See, that's what I'm worried. I didn't try it yet because I'm worried it might break the game because that sounds like it would make it so much easier.
It does. Like, I didn't miss a single putt in the demo. See, I had like a 47 footer for eagle and I dropped it easily.
Jeez. Well, I might just keep avoiding it. I guess I gotta try a little bit towards the end so I know what the features are like. But I've been playing that. That's fun. On my PSP, I've been playing Mega Man Powered Up.
Oh yeah, how's that going?
It's fun. You know, it's Mega Man 1. But the neat thing is, I mean, the graphics are updated, obviously. But what's cool is every time you beat a Robot Master, as long as you only use your Buster, you get to play as them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, you get to play through the game a lot of times. And you can go online, you can download Roll to play as. You can even download Proto Man to play as, which I love.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, playing as Proto Man. You know, it's a lot of fun. I'm played around with the level creator a little bit. It seems pretty solid. I haven't, like, made anything yet or anything, but, you know, it's Mega Man. I really like it. Mega Man's always been fun for me.
Good. Well, I checked out some on the PSP this week, because there was released, it starts a PS2 game and moved to the PSP. It's called Monster Hunter Freedom, and this is the second one, which is apparently, like, one of the biggest selling games in Japan. Like, it outsells Pokemon somehow. I didn't even know that many people had PSPs. And, I mean, the concept of the game is appealing. It basically looks like it's Phantasy Star Online with dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. But, first of all, there's no online, which I don't get. I mean, like, I think Capcom feels kind of complacent because it does sell so well that, like, why should we bother putting the online in? But I think that would make the game really take off in America, too, if they did. But beyond that, like, just playing it, like, the problem is you can't, like, lock on to a creature and your combo attacks just take you down a straight line. So if you're not lined up perfectly, you'll like hit it once or twice, and you'll keep fighting, and this thing will glance off to the side of you, and then usually hits you in the back. And because there's no second analog stick, the camera is controlled with the D-pad, which means you can't like move and control the camera at the same time. And then the quests are vague, too. Like, I did this quest today, and it's like, it didn't tell me what I had to kill. It just said gather. I don't know what I was supposed to gather, and I was supposed to deliver something that I didn't know if I already had it with me or if I had to find it, and I didn't know who I was delivering it to. And I was just like, I don't even know what's going on. So I was just slashing at dinosaurs till one finally killed me.
Right.
So, well, I mean, it's okay. It seems like, I think it's just like, there's a time sink until it starts becoming fun, and I just kind of lost patience with it.
Right. Well, fair enough, though. All right. Well, there's the game I've been playing the most of, actually, what I'll talk about next. As we move on to Mike's adventures in Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy.
Sephiroth! Dun 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 dun!
Yeah. I'm playing Final Fantasy VII now. And I haven't really. I told you I'm playing it. I would tell you my progress, but I didn't tell you anything if I like it or anything, did I?
No, you really didn't.
Oh, okay. So, this will. You know, be fun. Because, I mean, a lot of people call Final Fantasy VII an incredibly overrated game.
True.
Right. And I would have to disagree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty... I mean, I think it actually kind of lives up to its hype in a lot of ways.
Wow.
I mean, maybe not... Like, story-wise, yeah, it's a little melodramatic and stuff. But sometimes in gaming, even if it has to be, you know, melodramatic, I'll take any drama I can get. But, I mean, just the battle system's very solid. The presentation, like, everything's blocky, you know, for PlayStation, but still pretty good. Especially, like, the transitions into, like, you know, like, some of, like, the more, like, CG or, like, pre-rendered stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the transitions themselves are very nice looking still. Like, just, like, going to, like, the tram that takes you to the Golden Saucer, like, the little thing that plays there, it still looks almost as good as something that would come out today.
Hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, the battle system is very solid. I like the materia system a good bit, because, you know, you get to, like, equip materia, which will have spells associated with them, and you level up the materia. So, if you level up the fire materia, you'll learn fire, too, which is, you know, fire up, basically.
And then you can give it to whoever you want.
Right. So, like, it's not like that person knows Fire 2. The Materia knows Fire
2. That's cool.
Yeah. And just, you know, so stuff like that. It's just a very good system. And, I mean, the locations are neat. It's cool because it kind of strays away from, like, the very, like, dungeon-centric design, which kind of keeps things going a little faster for me.
That's good.
I'm glad I'm not stuck in the dungeon for, like, a very long time ever. And, you know, just, like, some of this... There's, like... The game is, like, littered with, like, these mini-games, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, I remember like, giving the girl, like, CPR thing. In the very beginning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you give the girl CPR. I've been mountain climbing. I've been skiing. I did the motorcycle thing. I've been marching. There's, I mean, there's, you
oh,
know,
yeah,
anything
that.
They can do to kind of switch things up, which, you know, I appreciate. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. How far into it are you, would you say?
20 hours into it.
Have you swapped disc yet?
What?
Have you swapped disc yet?
Yeah, I just switched to disc 2.
Okay, did you...
There's no way disc 2 can be as long as disc 1.
Did you do the pivotal plot twist yet?
Yeah, Ares died.
Oh, did you cry?
That's not for me to...
You cried!
No, I didn't cry,
actually. Oh, thank God.
See, I felt pretty bad, though.
I know. Like I admittedly never got that far in the game when I played it back in the day. But people told me... Like, I found it, like, oh, it's real powerful and Ares dies. I'm like... Just give her a Phoenix down or cast Revive on her. What
well,
the hell?
I don't know. But I might have. They didn't play at the moment as well as they could have, I think. Partially due to the limitations of the character models, maybe.
Right.
But, you know. I mean, it was slightly bizarre, too. Because, like, I don't want to say he like the characters got over it pretty quickly. But, you know, 20 gameplay minutes later, you're snowboarding. But, I mean, but, like, my characters are level, like, 40-ish.
Oh, wow.
And in every Final Fantasy game I've played, when you get to around level 50, like, not even level 50, like, getting close to there, that's, like, the end of the game.
Hmm.
So that's, like, the, you know, the cap is different in this game, which it might be. But I don't think there's... I'm pretty sure I'm more than halfway done.
Yeah. Now, I'm gonna give you some advice. Now, there's that super crazy materia called the Knights of the Round that you can get, the one summon. But
yeah.
If you do get that, it'll make the final boss more difficult.
Right.
But it, like, kills everything else instantly.
Yeah, I'm still going to get it. It's badass. Who put... First, I got to raise a gold chocobo and stuff.
Yeah, are you going to do that?
Well, you have to. You get Knights of the Round.
Oh, wow. Remember, our friend Jonathan. We have this friend Jonathan, who's a very dear friend of mine. Not much of a gamer. Pretty much plays sports games. But he, like, 100%ed Final Fantasy. Did, like, every side quest... Got the Knights of the Round, the gold chocobo, beat the game. It was the weirdest thing. Like, I don't know what possessed him to do it, but he loved Final Fantasy VII.
The game was really popular, and it's easy to see why. It was doing things with presentation that a lot of games were doing now. Like, you can look at it now and take a lot of it for granted, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the fact that there really aren't very many noticeable load times, there's a lot of these cinematic things going on, like camera angles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, camera angles, who the hell thinks about that anymore?
Yeah, seriously.
But, like, that was a pretty big deal.
Man, I kind of want to play it again now.
I mean, I like it.
Too bad it's hard as hell to find now. Wish I knew where my copy of it is.
Well, hopefully, maybe they'll be remaking it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's the best Final Fantasy, like some people would say. But I'm not even all the way there yet.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff I like about it. I would not call it... Maybe, I mean, if you want to get specific, maybe it's overrated because people seem to like it, you know, a lot, but in the broad scheme of things, I'm not going to call it that overrated. If there's an overrated Final Fantasy, it might be Final Fantasy IV.
Really?
Final Fantasy IV was, like, 12 hours long. And very, like you know how, like, they all kind of have, like, a neat leveling system?
Mm-hmm.
In Final Fantasy IV, you leveled up. And, you know, if you were a mage, you would learn, you know, spells when you leveled up. Like, get level 20 to learn Fyra, that kind of thing. It's pretty straightforward.
Right.
But, so I'm going to keep playing Final Fantasy VII. I'm not going to guarantee victory by this time next week, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Did they release Advent Children on Blu-ray yet?
If they haven't, they're going to.
I know they're going to, because I haven't seen that yet, but I'm waiting for it to come out on Blu-ray before I do.
It has a lot of cool action sequences as a story thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's fun to watch. It's definitely better than the other Final Fantasy movie.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You should watch that movie as part of your deal to suffer through that.
When I get my buddy back who loves watching bad movies, we just might, actually. That's a good idea. All right.
Take a trip to the Uncanny Valley.
All right, so that's it for now. Why don't you take us through the downloadable games?
All right, got a light week this week. The Wii saw.
What'd you say?
I said we got a light week this week.
Okay, that's good because we're already 55 minutes into this.
All right, good.
I'm tired.
So on the Wii, we have first up Kirby's Avalanche, which is just Puyo Pop.
Puyo Pop
with
yeah.
Kirby. We already. It was also Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine on the Genesis.
Man, I was such a Sega fanboy because I remember.
Yeah,
when
remember
I saw
we were all pissed off.
How
we were like
furious.
Yeah, we were like,
I was
what
like,
the
they
hell?
Stole
they just
Dr.
copied
Robotnik.
It.
Yeah.
We didn't know anything.
Man, I was such a Sega
fanboy. We were so ignorant before the internet.
Funny how many people would call me a Nintendo fanboy these days now.
Yeah. Or me a Microsoft fanboy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. So after that,
true.
We
You're
have
a Microsoft fanboy.
We have Streets of Rage 3, which had the kangaroo in it, as I recall.
And also had the old guy with the robot arm.
Yeah.
One of the best video game characters of all time.
So that's up there for you to check out. And Legend of Hero Tanma for the TurboGrafx-16.
What the hell is that?
Because I love reading these press releases so much, let's see what this game is. Legend of Hero Tanma is an action game that puts players in controls of the magic user Tanma, whose role, as was typical for game heroes of the day, is to travel to another world and save the princess. Fight your way through 7 stages using Tanma's jump ability and shot power. Collect power-ups.
I'll tell you what, you don't see many games proudly proclaim that their hero has the ability to jump.
That must be his magic power. Let's see. Collect.
I like to see that in the box. What's the name of this game?
Tanma, or Legend of Hero Tanma.
Legend of Hero Tanma with jumping.
Collect power-ups and barriers to grow in barriers. Yeah, barriers to grow in strength and pummel your enemies. Bring that strength to the end of each stage to face off against and defeat the menacing bosses that aim to keep you from the princess. This well-detailed game's comic visuals and feel will have players wanting to come back for more frantic and exciting action. This sounds like the most generic game ever.
Legends of Hero Tanma 2, still jumping after all these years.
We had this little game called Halo 3 come out this week, there wasn't an Xbox Live Arcade release per se, but they did...
Not that I'm aware
of. They did do some Xbox Live Arcade game discounts. So this week, you get
Frogger.
Bankshot Billiards for 900 Microsoft points, which, what's the regular price in that game? Like, how much are you playing for pool?
I'll tell you what, Frogger at 300 points, that's still like...
Too much.
200 points
yeah.
too many.
And then Hardwood Spades. If it was like one of the other guys, I like Hearts or Solitaire or whatever, but Spades is my least favorite of all those games. So thanks, right, but right. No thanks. PSN didn't see any new games this week. And then on GameTap, we've got IGI2 Cover Strike... some kind of stealth FPS. The Cameron Files, Pharaoh's Curse. It's a modern PC adventure game that kind of looks like it rips off Indiana Jones. Strategic Command 2, Blitzkrieg. It's apparently an Advance Wars-like World War II game on the PC. And Combat Mission 2, Barbossa to Berlin. It's a turn-based World War II game. So a lot of World War II games come out on GameTap, it seems.
Yes. All right. I gotta bring this sucker
All
home
right.
now. It's
Let's
like
do
3
it.
O'clock in the morning. Okay. All right. Regular game releases. October 1st for the PC, we got Race 07, the World Touring Car Championship game.
Pass.
What the hell? God, I'm not even talking about it. I'm not gonna talk about games that I don't care about.
Keep going.
Okay. Enemy Territory: Quake Wars, August 2nd.
I'm down with that. I like the demo. I'm playing Halo and Team Fortress 2, so maybe in a few months.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm busy with other multiplayer games, honestly. NBA 2K8, 360, PS3, PS2, October 2nd. This is one of the few 2K games still going pretty strong. Huh?
Yeah, it's NHL's years past going. Been considered superior to the EA games, but I think I think the people are feeling like EA is finally catching up, so I don't know, we'll see what the reviews say. Mm.
Project Gotham Racing 4, 360, October 2nd.
Rain and snow.
I wonder how many people are going to buy that for the Geometry Wars game. That's gonna
Yeah,
be
seriously.
Is that... Yeah. Never really liked that series. October 1st, DS, Legend of Zelda, Phantom Hourglass.
Woo!
I think we talked about that enough. NBA Live 08, 360, PS3, PS2, Wii, and PSP. Interesting. This one... No, this basketball game is coming out on the Wii, and the other one's
not.
That's
because EA has more... resources to do that, I think. I mean, their Wii Sports games haven't been considered very good, so no big loss.
Okay. Loki, Heroes of Mythology. Didn't we talk about this last week?
Yeah, it was like the very generic kind of mythology thing.
Right, right. MLB Power Pros for Wii and PS2.
How's that?
Looks like a very silly. It's a Japanese arcade sports game series.
Oh, I actually did hear about it. It's actually supposed to be really good. It's supposed to be a really good simulation of baseball. It's very popular in Japan.
Interesting. Ninja Bread Man for the Wii. I thought we talked
about this. Yeah, must have gotten pushed back.
Spider-Man Friend or Foe. I thought we talked about this already.
I played the demo.
Must have got pushed back. Oh, is that what it was? Well, it's coming out this week on everything. Literally everything. Actually, not the PS3. Interesting. That version must be coming out a week later like they usually do. Crash of the Titans, 360, PS2, Wii, and DS. I didn't realize this was coming out for anything besides the 360.
I played the demo of that this week, actually. I didn't mention it. Surprisingly good.
Yeah, maybe Crash is ready for a comeback.
Yeah, it was fun.
We'll see. Our Victory, PC, World War II shooter,
it's
whatever.
It's the worst game ever.
It's F1 Filter, Logan's Shadow, PSP, October 2nd. No interest in that series.
Never liked that series.
Chosen, Well of Souls. Oh, man, a whole Well of Souls.
Oh, no.
October 1st for the PC. God, it looks generic as hell. Flat Out, Ultimate Carnage, Xbox 360.
Yeah, I always saw that as kind of a pale rip-off of Burnout. Yeah, not that fun.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, boy. So play your Zelda next week while you're playing your Halo at home.
If you want to be really cool, you should be playing the most popular games from 1997, like me. I'm playing the game. It's kind of funny. Everyone's talking about Halo 3, and I'm spending like
$5 a day
playing Final Fantasy 7.
Man, guys, this Final Fantasy 7 is great.
Man, guys, you were all right. They're all like, we're all 30 now. What are you talking about? We don't even play games anymore.
Maybe 10 years from now, you'll be like, guys, Halo 3 is really good.
Oh, man. Halo 3 is pretty sweet, guys. And they'll be like, we're all dead. We're so old. God.
Then he'll be like, what? Because he'll be up there because you'll be dead.
Whatever. I'll tell you what. I'm interested to play Final Fantasy VIII because I don't know very much about
that
one.
They had the stock and draw system, which was very interesting.
Right, but not to get into it, it's just like Final Fantasy VII, like, I kind of know a lot of what's going down before it happens. But 8, not so much.
Gun sword.
Okay, well,
big sword, gun sword, water sword. They skipped the Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy 9 is awesome, so. Okay, that's it for this week, everyone.
So, just to reiterate, I put this up on the blog, which was found at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. We're switching now to a Saturday release schedule for the show. See how this works. I'm trying to tune the schedule and everything. So,
I tell you what, we got to do it earlier than 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, I'm sorry.
You're bad.
Yeah. Hey, I was planning on Thursday. You told me too late. Anyway.
Thank you for listening, everyone. That's it. I'm going to go to sleep.
I'm going to play Halo.
Fuck Halo.